Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Hannah Evans and Brenda Luna. Hannah is a domestic policy associate with Friends Committee on National Legislation. And Brenda Luna, one of our students here, has also been interning with this organization. And they're here to talk about immigration reform in 2017. Ladies, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now, first of all, let's start with you, Hannah. When I introduced you, some people might be wondering, okay, what are the Friends Committee on National Legislation?
Sure. Well, we are actually a Quaker lobby. We're based in Washington, D.C. We've been around since about 1943, and our whole job is to affect legislation through Congress and sometimes with the administration and the president in order to infuse it with Quaker values, which really surround compassion, making sure that we're lifting up the dignity of each individual. It's a Quaker tenet that there's that of God in every individual. And so we look for legislation that really speaks to that and answers to that when we work every day on Capitol Hill.
And so as far as you coming to El Paso, and I mentioned Brenda, who is one of our students and also has been interning with you, tell us a little bit about how you work with students nationwide.
Sure. It's a big priority of Quakers across this country and other supporters of FCNL to make sure that we are having youth voices, to make sure that we are instilling the skills in the next generation so that we can continue to have legislation on the Hill that really reflects that. So one of our programs, and this is the program that Brenda Luna is joining us for, is the Advocacy Corps. And what it is 18 young people from all across the country in different districts who this year are advocating around comprehensive immigration reform and really laying the groundwork for that in early 2017.
As I mentioned, Brenda Luna is joining us as well. And Brenda, tell us a little bit about your experience, how you got involved in this. You were in Washington recently to get trained for this, but tell us about how you got involved in all of this.
Definitely. Well, first of all, I'm very thankful for FCNL, especially because they've really opened my eyes to the issues surrounding my community here in El Paso and across the nation, which is immigration and how immigration affects everyone. I'm very interested in it because of the advocacy part. I'm very concerned with social justice issues. I am a master's student here at UTEP, and my thesis is focusing on analyzing the relationships between the government and human traffic victims. So that is my particular interest, but FCNL is just so concerned with reaching out to these communities that need help and that don't have a voice of their own. And that's why I'm just thankful that I can be a part of such an organization that seeks to, you know, restitute and help the least of these.
And how were you matched with Hannah and her organization? Did you read about it somewhere and file an application? Because I'm sure that you and 17 others, that it was probably difficult to select some young people across the nation.
Well, again, UTEP is such a great campus and they're always offering really interesting opportunities. So I matched with the Career Center here at the university and they were really helpful. And, you know, they have a program, they look at your resume and then they match you with possible organizations that you could partner with to enhance that resume.
Hannah, you mentioned that this program has been in place since 1943. Immigration has been an issue since this country was founded. And during the 1940s, of course, there was the issue of Japanese Americans who were put in camps. And then there was also the situation of Jewish people, whether they would be allowed to come for using our country as a safe haven. Tell us a little bit about what issues you all have encountered and what are some of the things that need to be broken, because it's no secret whether you're Republican or Democrat, that our immigration system is broken.
Absolutely. And so that's really the core of FCNL. We were founded in 1943, right around World War II. Quakers really believe that there's the dignity in every individual. And so from that, we're nonviolent. During World War II, what was happening especially was refugee crisis around the world. And so we have a large program for peace building and how we can use our skills to reduce violent conflict around the world. And then the other part of that is peace building at home. So our immigration system really needs to be able to bring out the humanity in everyone. I would say that for immigration in particular, it's broken and it's also a nonpartisan issue, and it's been painted as partisan. And so one of our biggest challenges is to lift up the voices. That's why we have citizen advocates around the country, so that we're not having things be fueled by few voices. We're having it come directly from the districts themselves.
And as you mentioned, that you know, immigration reform is not a partisan issue. It's something that affects everyone. And one of the things that you had mentioned before the program started is that you all had met with some faith-based communities to talk about some of the ideas or what their input is.
Yeah, the biggest reason that we're really excited to have somebody from El Paso is that what we're noticing in Congress when we talk about immigration is that we're only talking about whether we can secure the border or not. So often we get straight to, well, is our border secure or is it not? And what we are trying to do instead is have border communities themselves be able to really direct that conversation on the Hill and have it be much more about our border communities themselves feeling secure. Are they feeling as if they're able to flourish? Are our policies adversely affecting them? How can we really bring the community into these decisions? And so we're really excited to have somebody organizing on the ground to be able to bring those voices to their members of Congress and also to the rest of the country. And so this partnership that Brenda Luna will have with her other 17 advocates who are coming from not border communities is huge because they will also then have that voice to be able to talk to their members of Congress when they're considering legislation that would talk about border security and saying, well, what will that do for border communities themselves?
And so many times, Brenda, people will say, well, people up on the Hill, Washington, have never been to the border. They're not aware of what really goes on here. And so they need to come and take a closer look. And as Hannah mentioned, there will be some of the other interns who will be here and other advocates as well. Tell us, as far as you getting this meeting together, what are some of the things that you've heard addressed or that people wanted you to address?
Sure. I definitely believe that there is this association when you're talking about policy in Congress and when you're actually a person living in a community where you are actively seeing immigration situations happen. And I think that this community is particularly lucky and blessed to have Congressman O'Rourke as an advocate. He is our congressman here in El Paso, and he is an advocate for immigration as well. I've been to a few town hall meetings where he talks about immigration as a door for people to come to get a better opportunity, and he always addresses the fact that border crossings should be pleasant experiences rather than, you know, having to always encounter Border Patrol officials harassing you or asking too many questions or not giving you a proper response to your questions. So I feel that we are particularly lucky to have that, but we also have senators that are not particular to the situation for a lot of immigrants here in this community. So one of the things that I have committed to doing is raising awareness on that issue. So I'm urging our community to write letters to the editor, to go on lobby visits, to talk about comprehensive bipartisan immigration reform, because as Hannah was saying, it has to be comprehensive. It can't be itemized into like one step at a time. It needs to be a comprehensive immigration reform that really deals with the whole issue and gives family reunion with their family members. I think one of the biggest issues that we're trying to address is that accountability that for some reason is lacking right now in border communities. We're trying to bring awareness to that, and I feel that Congressman O'Rourke has done that in some way, but obviously there is so much work to be done. But honestly, it's most about getting the word out about what you can do as a constituent, what you can do as a citizen, and how it's our responsibility to take care of those who are, you know, our neighbors and just around the corner.
Hannah, what about as far as issues that affect, as Brenda mentioned, families, because families are torn apart, and we saw that during World War II. We've seen it throughout the ages and currently with the Syrian refugees. So some people are wanting everybody else to do the research for them, and they won't go and talk to people. And some of the issues that have come up in the past that I've talked with people is the cost. The fact that we would like to do it right, we'd like to do it legally, but we just can't afford the high cost to file the papers for a family of 8 or 5, whatever it may be.
So I think that the reality is that we haven't looked at the legal side of our immigration system in any sort of meaningful way for the last 30 years. Incrementally, through the last 30 years, we've done a lot of increased enforcement. We've built fences. We've built walls in some places. And the accounting has happened there in terms of cost, and it hasn't really happened in terms of making sure that there are enough immigration judges, making sure that the legal courts are able to function properly and with enough staff. And then we also haven't looked at the visa system as much as we could have. And we haven't prioritized family visas as a way for people to come and bring their family members as well. There's a couple of different ways that you can legally immigrate to the United States. And one of the things that people of faith in particular are worried about is that we've put caps on the number of family visas that we allow, which then separates families. And so we have this increased emphasis on enforcement, but we're not necessarily looking at the other parts of the system over the last 30 years. So I would say that the biggest piece is education, is looking at that. The other reality that we have is over this past 30 years, we have people, immigrants, who are contributing to our economy. The cost of regularizing their status and granting citizenship is actually way less than it would be to deport everyone, to continue detaining people at the rate that we're detaining people, while Congress will not look at the whole system and really have a conversation with each other. And there are some hard questions there, and we're asking Congress to really think about those questions instead of avoid them.
And what are some of the things that you're hearing in Washington as far as for and against?
I feel like a broken record, but the number one thing that I hear is that we need to hear from constituents. We need this to be a district issue. What we're hearing right now is the House is going to continue to be divided. The election is coming up very shortly, and the House is likely to be divided. The Senate might go either way. We don't know yet. But regardless, we need to be able to have these conversations. We need to have the districts, people from the districts, be urging their members of Congress to talk across the aisle. I would say largely what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of quiet conversation happening within Republican offices saying, we really wish that we could work on this. We don't love that this has been painted as a Democrat issue, painted as a partisan issue in general. We really want to work on this.
And so what about the constituents? What do they need to do to help you out? And sometimes they'll be apathetic, or they'll say, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I vote, it doesn't count, or it doesn't matter what I say because they won't listen.
First of all, I would say everyone should vote. Civic engagement starts with voting,
yes,
but it doesn't end with voting. And I think no matter what happens after the election, no matter who wins, whether it's somebody you voted for or somebody that you didn't, you should be in that office. You should be introducing yourself. You should be talking with their staff members who then talk to the people in Washington, D.C. And that's how the policy really happens. So I would highly encourage people to meet up with Brenda if you are from this campus. And if you're not, then go online and search your member of Congress and see how you can get into their offices through a visit. Immediately preceding the election, you can go to town halls. You can hear what the candidate-elects are saying. And yeah, I would just say continue to be engaged beyond this election. And that's how things happen.
And if I can just add something to that, I feel that one of the biggest mistakes that we as constituents make is to not understand the power of our voice, especially because our congressmen are here to hear. They are here to hear what we need and what is representative of our community and what is necessary for our community. So I urge everybody listening to this to just go out there and participate in civic engagement.
Is there a website or a place that you encourage people to go to find out more about immigration reform and advocacy and what they need to do?
Absolutely. You can start with the FCNL website, fcnl.org. If you go fcnl.org/immigration, that's our immigration page. But there's a lot of different resources there for civic engagement, how to go on a citizen lobby visit, for example. And that is one way to start.
And one of the ways that I'm contributing here in this community is by organizing lobby visits. So if anybody is interested in participating in one of those, my contact information is my UTIP email, which is bdlunabravo@minors.utip.edu.
We've been visiting with Hannah Evans and Brenda Luna. Hannah is a domestic policy associate with Friends Committee on National Legislation. And if you want additional information, you can go to fcnl.org/immigration. And then Brenda also gave her UTEP address so that you can contact her here on campus. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Eddie Velasquez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.